Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Pretty good. And here we go. This is the day for you to have a whole bunch of TVs and stuff. Everything starts at noon, and here we go. Last game, and the Giants need a win.
Yeah, it's completely crazy. I mean, they have to win, and after that they need the Brewers to lose and everything else, and this thing could possibly go to Monday. But they basically have to win. There is a lot going on. I'm down to write columns about who the Giants and the A's are playing, and at least we know who the Giants will play if they get there, which would be the Dodgers. There's no other scenario, but the A's have two or three teams in place, so I got a busy day. It's just perfect. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Hey, Bruce, good morning. How are you doing,
hey,
my friend?
Good, man.
Hey, I'm looking through original Joe's right now. Are you a Bloody Mary kind of guy or a mimosa kind of guy in the mornings?
I got to go Bloody's, Bill. That's the tradition around here, going way back.
Excellent. I'm right there with you.
Although I wouldn't turn down a mimosa if you offered it to me.
When you look at this 60-game season for the San Francisco Giants, we're coming down to the final game, and literally they win this game. They finish 500. There's no way any expectations in the beginning of the year was thinking this. Your thoughts on how this season progressed and how well are the Giants when they finish 30-30?
Well, I think it progressed in a pretty pleasant way, mostly because they were, they weren't expected to be great, and it'd be nice if they got around 500. But I don't think anybody expected how much fun they would be. They had great wins, so many dramatic moments. They had some terrible moments too. But they were a team you kind of couldn't keep your eyes off, And they, with Yastrzemski and Dickerson and Dubon and the good pitching from Gosman and the bullpen up and down. I mean, it was just in trying to follow Gabe Kapler's moves. I thought it was really, really interesting. And I don't think the fans could ask a whole lot more for them to finish 500, which they will if they win today, whether they get in or not. I think that's pretty satisfying. But mostly, I think it has the fans excited about next year.
Well, I think that's really the point, is that it brought Giants baseball back on the map. As I've said before, Bruce, we've talked about the days of Brian Sabian are now linked with the days of Horace Stoneham. I mean, those are long gone days for what we see now. And I think for next year, there's a lot of hope. But my thought to ask you this, as we get ready for what's ahead in October, no days off, 3-game playoff, 5-game playoff, 7-game playoff. How do you like it, and are you excited about it, and do you think it's something they may keep?
Well, I've reached a point where I'm pretty excited about baseball. I was completely down on it when the season started. I didn't think there was a chance to finish it. There's nobody in the stands. I thought the cutouts were a little ridiculous, and I'm kind of warm to everything. Kruk and Kipe do such a great job, and the A's guys, too. It's been nice every night to sit down and watch the game. And as far as the 16 teams, I like the way they've set it up with a game every night. I think that's kind of important, just to keep the momentum going for the teams and the fans. There's going to be more games than you can even watch at the start. I don't know how they're going to fit them all on the TV schedule, but it's going to be fun. I don't think they will keep 16. I know Rob Manfred said that he likes this, and he'd like to see this continue, but I think he also said that he certainly wouldn't be locked into preferring 16 as opposed to, say, 14 or even 12, because 16 is fine right now. The main reason it's fine right now is that so many teams are in it. Therefore, a lot of teams didn't just sort of give up and go, I don't want to hang around in COVID here. They'd all be Andrelton Simmons and pulling out with a week to go. And teams would be discouraged, and they just go a million different directions and not even want to be there. So that part of it is good. But on the real side, in 162 games, you can't have more than half the teams in the playoffs. You can't have teams with losing records in the playoffs. It has happened, but it's just contrary to the whole nature of the game that, the long season is meant to prove something. It's pretty remarkable, Marty, when you think about all the years, just decade after decade, with you played to win it, the pennant, or that's it. And everybody seemed fine with that. You go right to the World Series. But I've enjoyed all of the playoff expansion, even now. But I think I don't think going into next season with 16 is that's a little too much.
You know, Bruce, going back to the 60-game schedule and seeing what the Giants have done, they pretty much eliminated the teams under 500. They played very well against them, and now getting into the playoffs, there were 7-18, 7 wins, 18 losses against teams that were over 500. And if you look at all the playoff teams, they're 8 wins, 20 losses. How far can these Giants go if they do get into the playoffs? And what are your thoughts against this three-game Dodger series, the first round, if and when they get to L.A. on Wednesday?
Well, I don't know if anybody would pick the Giants to win that. I don't think it's just not a reasonable way to think. You know, I mean, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. They're 25 games over 500. They're 1-9 with power hitters. They got Kershaw and Buehler lined up. They got a bunch of right-handed pitchers. You know, Dustin May and Gonsolin against the Giants right-handers. It stacks up really kind of comically one-sided. However, Marty, it's baseball, right? I mean, what if the Giants win the first?
That's the point.
What if the Giants win the first one? What if they beat Kershaw behind Gosman? I mean, you know, that's the great thing.
Say, go in your record book. Look up 1951. Look up 1962.
Yeah.
And this is you're going to write a. I hope it's Giants Dodgers. You'll write a great story. You'll write an amazing story about how these teams have played before and how the Giants were written off before to the very last pitch, and they ended up winning. And winning pennants by doing it. So my feeling is, Bruce, you got a lot of lefties. The Dodgers are lefty-oriented. We've seen what Kershaw's done before. It's a baseball game. That's all it is. Anything can happen.
Yeah, 3 runs in the first inning off Kershaw. It's like, whoa, what's going on here?
You know, really? I mean, and all of a sudden people say, gee, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and it's very, I wouldn't say it's unique to baseball, but, you know, if you get an NFL matchup, kind of the best and the worst, you got a pretty good idea how it's going to come out. Or in NBA, if the Lakers are playing a team that can't win a game to save their life, you got a fair idea. But baseball, and we've seen it so many times, can just knock you on your seat, or off your seat. What is it? Something like that.
How about the Mets? The
knock
Mets
your socks off. That's it.
Come on,
there
the Mets go. And the Orioles, 1969. How about that?
Yeah, the Miracle Mets. They weren't supposed to get there. They weren't supposed to beat the Braves and Henry Aaron, and they did. And next thing you know, they win the whole thing. And you know, Cleon Jones and Tommy Agee and Tom Seaver, and all of a sudden the team that had been just so unbelievably bad, it's like, wow, these guys are really good. And it turned out they were very good for the next several years. But that was a miraculous kind of thing that. You know, it goes back to the Miracle Braves, you know, back in 1914 or what was it? Or, I
mean, that's correct. George Stallings.
Yeah, it's the Miracle Braves, yeah. So the history of baseball is filled with great stuff like this and completely improbable development. So we will watch with great anticipation.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce, you know, in the beginning of the year, the bullpen has always had question marks, no really position for each one of the guys. Who's the middle guy? Who's the short guy? Who's the setup guy? Different faces, different names in each position. Do you think down the road, maybe next year, they will go out and get a legitimate closer and they will set up situations like this? Or do you think the Giants like that, where they just who's hot, who's not, who's pitched, who hasn't?
Well, I think it's possible to get by with a bullpen by committee if you really have, you know, a lot of guys, you know, like the Reds had, you know, with Dibble and Charlton, and you know, when they won the whole thing in 1990, they could close you out with two or three guys. The Giants are, you know, when it comes down to, are you going to go Coonrod or Peralta, or is Watson a closer, or is this Tyler Rogers going to have it today, or is he going to get the ball up? It's not a reliable group in terms of who's going to finish the game. You know, Trevor Gott definitely had his problems. I think it should be a goal. I really do. I mean, if they can get somebody like that, then all of a sudden those other guys can settle in, you know, not have to worry about maybe closing out this game. I know Kapler likes to lock guys into specific roles. He's said that, and he hasn't been able to because he just, you know, day-to-day everything changes. But I would make it a priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, Farhan will do what the A's did, and that is he won't invest 5 years in a closer, but he'll bring in the Liam Hendricks or Keith Folk
or
Koch or something like that and just get rid of him and bring him in and get rid of him. And that's the way he'll do it. And he was lucky with Kenley Jansen. He fell into him down in Los Angeles. But he will get one guy. You can't do this again because this thing is too disruptive. Hey, Alex Dickerson not in the lineup today now, and I realize it's analytical and this is what the Giants have done and this is why they're here. But Alex Dickerson, Bruce, going into today, 28 for 68, 18 runs, 9 doubles, 7 homers, and 15 RBIs over his last 22 games, not 122 games, 22 games. Now, I know the Padres have a lefty going, and they got lefties in the bullpen, but come on, he's your best hitter. And you sit him down today?
Preposterous, Marty. Absolutely inexcusable.
Well, Darren Ruffel.
You're terrified of a lefty that you've bench your best hitter? Now, you know, the Padres are probably going to use a lot of pitchers today. And, you know, as soon as they bring in a right-hander, then we might see Dickerson. But is it too late then? You know, did they leave two guys on when somebody was up there instead of Dickerson? Man,
well,
I don't get it.
Ruff is hitting third, and maybe he'll hit 3 home runs today. What can I tell you?
Yeah, anything, you know, anything's possible. I just don't get benching your best hitter. I mean, you know, Dickerson, you know, he'll take that low and away curveball to left field. He'll spank it out there. He's got that stroke. You know, it's not like he gets up there and he's going to be overmatched. We've seen it to the contrary. So weirdness.
Boy, it is something. But look, that's what got the Giants here, and they're gonna play that game today. A couple of historical notes before we say goodbye to you today, Bruce. This is the anniversary of the last game in the old Colt 45 Stadium in Houston, Texas. Now, I was there. I don't know if you were ever there, but I will tell you this:
it's actually Colt Stadium.
Okay.
But played with the Houston Colt 45, so that was the team.
The Mosquitoes, Bruce, were, I can't tell you how big they were. They were gigantic.
Well, it was either you roast to death in the daytime, and there was one day when 15 fans were taken to the hospital for heat stroke or stuff like that, or at night you can't get rid of the mosquitoes. It was just a torture chamber. And they played there. I think it opened. They played there from '62 until the Astrodome opened in '65. But I mean, oh my goodness gracious! And they got Joe Morgan and Rusty Staub and Jimmy Wynn and you know pretty good ball club. And you know one thing I noticed about that: 2 days after that last game at Colt Stadium, they came to Candlestick and lost to Masanori Murakami pitching in relief in his first season with the Giants. So
wow.
Historical note for you, Marty.
I love it. I was there.
Good
it's
one.
The only place I ever saw Koufax. I saw him pitch, and I was there in 1963.
Wow.
And the ball rolled off a table. I'll never forget it. That's the curve.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the Pirates play with Clemente. I saw the Pirates and Dodgers in the two series there.
Wonderful time to be watching National League ball. I'm sure the fans there were thrilled through all the inconvenience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And last one is Walter Alston, Smokey, and he got his only plate appearance for the St. Louis Cardinals in 1936. He struck out, but went on to have a great career.
Yeah, he was kind of a career minor leaguer. We're talking about 1936. He was still a young guy. He'd just broken in the year before, and you know these are the Cardinals, just 2 years removed from the Gas House Gang. They still got Pepper Martin and Joe Medwick and Frankie Frisch and Leo DeRocher and finally it's the last game of the season, and Walter Alston replaces Frankie Frisch in the lineup in like the eighth inning, goes out to play first base. And he made the last out of the season, striking out against Lon Warnke. And that's it. See you later. No more at-bats in the bigs for you. You're 0 for 1. Season over.
Great story. Great story. So that was the anniversary today. Well, we'll see what happens. This is a good day for baseball fans, and I think a very successful season no matter what happens for the Giants. The transition's been made. And Bruce, thank you for another great year of talking ball and looking through the window of baseball.
Oh, it was so much fun, you guys, and I totally agree about the Giants, and be very cool if they can get through this and into the playoffs, but in any case, it's been a distinct pleasure, as always, being on with you guys all year.
Thanks, yep. Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce. I look forward to your story tomorrow. Okay, that is the great Bruce Jenkins. Mark A. Simon says, Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, coming up next. We've got plenty of time with him this morning. He's got good stuff. Back with him right after this.